Hi everyone. So today we are joined by Shabazz Dar. Shabazz is a senior infrastructure consultant at Netcompany. Welcome to the show, Shabazz. How are you doing on Bonfire Night here in the UK?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm doing well, thank you. It sounds like World War III on my street, but apart from that, I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, it's the same here. Fireworks are going off all the time here. It's a little bit noisy, but good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, so I'll try and talk between the fireworks. So give us a brief sort of intro into your career, Shabazz.
Yeah, so I did a degree in computer and information systems, and straight out of university, I was lucky enough to get a job doing first line support. I worked at the time, the company was called Spice Holdings, and they moved on to EndServe from there. And now they've been bought out by NG Bailey. So whatever was used to be Spice Holdings, I started off in a first line IT role there. And since then, probably for the next 10 years or so, I was doing support roles, really, second line, moving over to third line, all infrastructure roles, supporting on-premises, you know, Exchange, Veeam, VMware, stuff like that. And then I was lucky enough to get a role as a consultant at Concord Technology Group. So that was just over six years ago. And I had literally zero experience in consultancy and implementations and design and stuff like that. So they were like a medium-sized MSP. So the exposure that I got there over 6 years was amazing. And that kind of helped me learn quite a bit around, again, implementations. Then I started doing Microsoft Cloud and Azure about 4 years ago. So 2 years into that role. So 3 of those years, I was a senior consultant there. And obviously, the last month, I've started working at Netcompany. So they're a Danish company. But they've got offices in the UK, London, Leeds and Derby. So I'm part of their infrastructure team, again, focusing on Microsoft, Azure and 365. So yeah, really good.
Interesting stuff. Cool. So how did you get started in IT? What was the kind of first thing that got you interested in IT?
So I always had an interest in technology. But the key for me, as far as a career in IT goes, although I did my degree in IT, the sort of degree I did didn't give me the sort of skills I needed to work in a business side of IT. What did it for me was as part of my course, I did what they call a sandwich year. Essentially, that was a year in industry. So in my third year of a 4 year course, I went to Scarborough for 15 months. And again, I just did help desk support. But it was the best 15 months of my life as far as my career goes, because I totally fell in love with IT there. You know, the different like Microsoft software, PCs. And that's kind of where my passion for IT in you know, in a business sense came from. So if it wasn't for that I don't know, I'd probably be in banking or something. But no, it was because of the course that I did, sandwich course. I always recommend it to people who are kind of young and want to get into IT. I always say try and do either some part of your course doing a job in IT, or do like an apprenticeship or something, because you can't be, for me personally, you can't be hands-on skills.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. Hands-on is definitely the way to go. You know, myself, I didn't do apprenticeship or university or anything. I just sort of got hands-on in my own time and learned everything that way, and then got into a job. And yeah, I was quite lucky for the A+ qualification from CompTIA. Yeah. And then from there, people seem to want to employ me, and it's just sure. So that was good. So anyone out there, if you don't want to do university or apprenticeship, do the CompTIA A+ and then go from there. But apprenticeships are definitely worth doing. So talking about jobs again, like, as a senior infrastructure consultant, what do you actually do?
So that's a good question. So I'm only a month into my role, but my job is varied as far as not the technologies that I do. I am focused on Microsoft Cloud, and my skill set is really in Azure Infrastructure as a Service, endpoint management, which is like Intune and that sort of stuff, and the modern desktop, which is more Windows Virtual Desktop. So that's kind of where I've been asked to focus on in my current role. And as well as doing sort of, you know, the day-to-day, you know, projects and implementations, I'm also lucky enough to be working on tenders and bids. I personally really enjoy that side of it. I'm a bit strange like that, I suppose. I like the documentation side
and being part of a team that works on something and then wins something. I'm very competitive by nature, so I like, you know, the competition and these sort of bid tenders are quite they appeal to me. So I've been, my first few weeks I've been doing a lot of tenders and bids and working with a team with the bid team, which has been really, really enjoyable.
Nice, that's cool. Yeah, I've been involved in tenders and stuff like that before, and that wasn't my cup of tea. So it's good to hear that some people like that, because I didn't. So in your previous role, you mentioned that you were working with Azure and a Microsoft 365 consultant. What was that like, and what kind of skills did you pick up? Did you have Azure experience before that role? Or?
No, I hadn't done. And again, the beauty of working for Concord at a time as well, obviously they're an MSP, and the MSP world, in my opinion, you get so much exposure because, you know, you're getting to work with, I mean, I got to work with small to medium companies, so anyone from like a one-man band up to like 250 to 300-400 people. And it was the exposure that I got working with those type of customers that I was able to pick up the skills so quickly. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have a lot of support around me at the time from the owners of the business and people who worked in my team. So a lot of the learning was, you know, doing lab work and stuff like that. And in my own time, I suppose. And I think that's what you have to, in my opinion, again, I think that's what you have to. You have to put the time in if you want to advance in any sort of IT job. You have to put in. There's so much to learn, so much to do. So you have to put in your own time, which I enjoy doing. It's a passion of mine. So I've been lucky enough. And so, yeah, in that role, I was, again, lucky enough to be supported in that way that I was able to learn on the job and, you know, in labs and stuff like that.
That's cool. Yeah, the always learning in IT. As soon as you stop learning, you become obsolete, especially with the cloud nowadays. So spending your own time is definitely key.
My kids find it weird when I tell them I've got an exam coming. They're like, what? You have a job? Why do you still do exams? I'm like, well, daddy's job needs him to do to keep on learning. So it's always a funny conversation.
I can imagine. So talking about sort of out of hours work, you do a lot of work with the community and you've just started your own YouTube channel. Could you tell us a bit about that, how we can get access and what you're doing with it?
So yeah, it's based around, so I started off with my own blog site a few years ago called I Am IT Geek. And the concept was I'm a big of a sci-fi geek as well. So Marvel and DC Comics and stuff like that, big fan of those. So I tried to base it on when Batman says, I am Batman. I thought, oh, you know, I am IT Geek. I'll make it into a bit of a thing. So that's kind of what I based it on. I am a geek, honestly, some of the stuff I come up with. And it kind of went on from there. So I based my YouTube channel on that same sort of theme as well. I've not got the exact link. I can send you it. But yeah, if you just search for I Am IT Geek on YouTube, you'll find my page. At the moment, I've just got an introduction video and I posted my first episode of my first series, which is based on multi-factor authentication. So the channel is literally dedicated to sharing information, really. My aim is to with the videos to start off with more basic introductions into a certain technology. So this time I've chosen multi-factor authentication. And as I go on the series in each video, I'll start getting more technical, going into how to configure them and some of the requirements and stuff like that. So I'll start off with an introduction. What is MFA, for example? That's what my first video was based on. And then I'll go into more complicated and more advanced stuff. And that's going to be the same with all my other. I've got a whole set of series that I've been working on. I'm really enjoying it. The YouTube stuff is so much fun. I've really enjoyed it for the moment.
Cool. I was just checking out your YouTube channel. The good news is you've got 99 subscribers. So hopefully you'll get 100 during the show, and then you can change the name to YouTube/IamITGeek, which would be brilliant.
That'll be amazing. Every time I hear I Am IT Geek, there's this old cartoon when I was growing up called I Am Weasel, and I always think of that. I don't know why.
Oh,
yeah.
That's funny.
It's good. It's good.
So, like Shabazz, you took part in the Azure Advent Calendar, you took part in the Azure Spring Clean, and you also took part in the Azure Back to School events. What did you do for them? Tell us a little bit about what you did for those.
So the advent calendar was actually my first delving into the sort of video making and sort of presenting, I should say. And it was, again, honestly, I spent must have been 8 to 9 hours recording information, and the amount of bloopers, we've got the bloopers somewhere, and it's the funniest thing ever. It's mainly me swearing and cursing, which is it's good for me to have a swear jar in the room. But it was my video for the advent calendar was based on multi-factor authentication. Again, it's one of my stronger parts is identity management. So I do enjoyed that aspect of Azure. So I did multi-factor authentication for the Azure calendar, and it was a video of me and also a presentation. And there's a lot of fun to do. These sort of initiatives I find very really fun and different. So yeah, that was my first one I actually did. So yeah, that was a good one. And with the Spring Azure Spring Clean, I think that was identity management and the difference between Azure AD hybrid identity management and I believe Azure AD domain services. So I did kind of a, and that was just more of a blog. That was a blog post, and I believe the back to school initiative, I think I did hybrid exchange, hybrid device and hybrid identity for that one as well. So again, a bit of the sort of hybrid element of Microsoft, I suppose. I concentrated on that. So yeah, again, all very, very fun to do.
You've just got 100 subscribers.
Oh, no, really? That's amazing.
Congratulations.
I forgot to click subscribe, so you've now got 100 subscribers.
That is amazing that you're my 100 subscribers. That's hilarious.
One thing to do is I would take your videos from those three initiatives and add them to your channel so people can see the kind of thing you've done before.
Oh yeah, good point. Thank you. Yeah, I will. Excellent.
For people who are like starting out with content creation and community work, what kind of tips do you have for them?
So I'm actually I've started the process of writing a blog post about my experiences. So I won't give too much away yet, but it's I think you need to have a passion for it, because it's not easy. So whatever you're going to be talking about and presenting on the videos, you need to have a passion about it so it can be enjoyable for you. Otherwise, you just I don't feel like you'll get the output that you want. So I think that the passion is quite important. You need to have some good equipment as well. So the I've invested in a few things, like a decent webcam, a nice microphone. Obviously we were talking off camera around a good light, which I'm going to be investing in. So having some good equipment, investing in some good equipment is very also crucial, and having some good software to be able to not only record but edit your videos. So I've got I use OBS OBS Studio to record my videos, because I can share myself in the bottom corner and my screen as well at the same time. And then I use something called Cyberlink Power Director to actually put them together and piece them together and cut bits out, etc. So it does need a bit of investment, but I think the key thing is, first of all, you need the passion, otherwise you're going to be wasting your time and your money.
So you said the first time you created content it took hours. Do you think have you got that nailed yet, or do you think because it still takes me hours? It takes me like an hour to edit this podcast, so don't worry.
So I was my wife will kill me for this, but I was up until about 3 a.m. on at some point this week. I was up at 3 a.m. and I just lost track of time, and I was recording content, screwing it up, swearing several times, getting rid of that video, and then I just kept on recording, and I got it down to 4 hours worth of video content into 15 minutes. So I've halved the amount of video content I used, but again, it's part of the course. It's expected. It's very difficult to get a perfect video. I think the way I'm doing it, I'm trying to break it down into chunks, and that's the beauty of having these softwares available. I can afford to do that. You can afford to do that. So just do like 30-second or 1 minute snippets, and put them together. So yeah, that's probably how I've been doing it.
That's some really good advice there. Yeah, I like it. We met at Ignite last year, which was awesome. Tell us a bit about your best bits of Ignite.
Are we on about the actual event? Are we on about the rides afterwards?
You tell me, which bit was your highlight?
I think, so obviously this year there's been a lot of virtual events and virtual conferences, which are great, you know, for sharing content and stuff like that. But so Ignite, the Ignite this year, I'll be honest, I didn't really do. I couldn't face doing it, if I'm honest with you, just because it wasn't the same for me. The key for me and the most important thing for me at that event was meeting people. Like I said, I'd spoken to you both before that on Twitter and social media, but actually getting to meet you both in person was something else. And same with other people, you know, there's Wesley I met for the first time there, and just generally meeting people. And I remember I used to make a point of getting there early every morning so I could go have breakfast, and not because the food was amazing, just because I could sit on a table and talk to random people. I think there was one table, and there was some person who worked at a church. So he actually did all of it. Yeah, like it was a church. Someone was from manufacturing, someone was from a school, and someone was from a TV network. And there were just so many different types of people on around a table and just talking about their own experiences and what sort of backgrounds they've come from and the jobs they do. And it was that sort of information is priceless. The content at Ignite is great, don't get me wrong, the sessions, but you know, you can generally, like, they're recorded and you can see those afterwards. It's the meeting people and speaking to people that you will never ever get a chance like that anywhere. That's what was probably the key for me and what I hopefully one day will go back for again.
Yeah, here's hoping. I think it's the same for me, to be honest. The events, the content is brilliant, but spending time meeting folk and chatting with them and then sitting at breakfast, chatting about things to people you don't know is just brilliant. Hard to replicate. Yeah, I'm certainly doing miss that.
The bacon was good as well.
Yeah, you hear about the Ignite bacon and it lives up to it. It's quite good. Shabazz, so I hear that you're a bit of a Windows Virtual Desktop fanboy. Someone told me that, a little birdie. Tell us about your experience with that and why you think it's so good.
That's a nasty rumour, but I it is true. COVID has had a lot of bad negatives around it for everyone involved. One of the positives to come out of it was for me being able to do Windows Virtual Desktop, and I was lucky enough at my last job to have Concord Technology Group to have a lot of exposure in a small space of time. COVID hit, and then that was it. Just people obviously weren't ready for the remote working and you know the whole lockdown situation. So yeah, I was able to work on some quite big projects for some important clients and do some, I think I did, it wasn't the first rollout in the UK, but I think it was one of the first three rollouts in the UK. I was lucky enough to work on. Microsoft did a whole piece around it, they did a use case around it, it's published. And it's a great technology. It's great for remote working. It's very secure. And I can see it going, Microsoft really spending a lot more time and resources on developing it. It's already come so long in such a short space of time. When I deployed it, it was all through PowerShell. And now in the latest spring release, it's all through the admin portal. It's like in minutes. But even though, don't get me wrong, I do enjoy PowerShell from time to time, but it's so much easier now. But yeah, I was very lucky to be able to work on some big projects with it.
So is it like a Citrix killer, or does it complement it, or tell us a bit?
Potentially, a lot of, as far as the product goes, maybe, but as far as skill sets go, no, I think if you've got Citrix skills, it's gonna be very easy to transition over to Windows Virtual Desktop. And I think a lot of people who have been doing Citrix have also picked up Windows Virtual Desktop. And it's because of the sort of profile, the user profiles and the application deployment, that's all very similar still. It's definitely going to supersede RDS. Microsoft RDS, Windows RDS, I can't see Microsoft spending much effort on that anymore with Windows Virtual Desktop. I think Citrix will still be there. I think it's still too big of a name, I think, to just wilt away.
But it's definitely a massive competitor for it. And it's I think it's put Microsoft on the map as far as modern desktop goes, definitely.
So what other technologies in Azure do you like? What other things have caught your eye?
So my background's really networking. When I first started at Concord, I was doing like my CCNA. So I got my CCNA certification at the time, and I was very much a networking bod. So I do like the sort of networking side of Azure as well, the VNets, the side-to-side VPNs, the express routes, route tables. And from there, I've kind of transitioned into security stuff as well, so the Azure Firewall. And I'm hopeful that obviously in my new role in that company, I get more exposure to that sort of stuff. And the security side of Azure. So that's kind of where my sort of passions lie. Obviously, the endpoint management as well, Intune, Autopilot, and again, identity management is a big one for me as well. I do enjoy that side of Azure and Microsoft 365.
Nice. I think we lost a few listeners when you said networking, but hopefully we'll bring them back. Everyone hates networking.
I could have said DNS. It could have been worse.
Yes, very true. So let's change up a bit. Let's not talk about technology or community. Let's talk about Shabazz. What do you like to do in your spare time apart from recording till 3 a.m?
So I'm massively into my sport, football. Unfortunately, at the moment, I support Manchester United. You've lost another 100 view listeners now, I'm sure. So I love playing sport. Again, I'm very competitive. So I play, before COVID, I played a lot of five-a-side football. Big cricket fan as well. I used to play a lot of cricket when I was younger, to the point where I trialled for Yorkshire at 17. So I've got a massive passion for sports in general, watching and playing. My family are a massive passion of mine. I've been very lucky enough to be blessed with two beautiful children, Mikhail and Zoya. Mikhail's my son, Zoya's my daughter. She's 10, going on 16. So I doing stuff with them. We talk about Ignite last year. I brought my family with me, and we did the whole Disney thing, and they loved it. My son had his birthday there, so he was five, and I remember Animal Kingdom. We had dinner with all the characters. It was amazing. So, big family man. Like spending time with my family and sports. Really, that's me.
Oh, Richard tells me you're a big fan of roller coasters. Tell us all about that.
I go on so I can save face. What she's probably referring to is the Hagrid ride, I think, or any one of the Harry Potter rides in Orlando Studios. Universal Studios.
Tell us about your experience during Ignite.
I can't remember. I had my eyes closed for most of them, I think. Eyes closed and screaming, I think.
Just for the benefit of the viewers, I was sitting next to you and I was on the motorcycle and I've never seen anything like it. You were sat with your head, your hands screaming.
Yeah, pretty much. In the as close to the fetal position as I could get to. That's me on every roller coaster. I do them so I save face, but I just literally close my eyes. I don't think I've ever had my eyes open. I don't think I've ever had. Which is, luckily my kids haven't picked up that habit from me. My son on some of the rides, he went to Space Mountain. He's 5-year-old going on Space Mountain. I've got some photos, and he's got a smile on his face in like the photos. It's ridiculous. But yeah, I'm not good at roller coasters.
Yeah, I definitely remember that. It was very funny. Good evening, that was.
It was indeed.
So, talking about travel, obviously you've been to Orlando and that. Can you tell us a place anywhere in the world that you've been to that people might not have heard of?
So, you've probably heard of it, but you can hear those fireworks as well.
Yeah.
So you probably, people probably heard of it, but they might not know much about it. So I'm Pakistani origin. I traveled to Pakistan, got family there, my wife's from there. So I spend a lot of time in Lahore in Pakistan, one of the major cities. And it's one of the most amazing places I've been to, if I'm honest with you. They talk about certain cities that never sleep. It literally doesn't sleep at all. You can go out at 4 or 5 in the morning, and it's as busy
as it was 3-4 in the afternoon. Very vibrant city, very friendly city. The food's amazing. And it's just so much to see, so many monuments there. So that's definitely a place that I'm missing. We're supposed to go this year, back in April. Unfortunately, everything happened, so couldn't. But I've got a lot of friends and family in Pakistan, in Lahore. So I do love going there. That's one of my favourite places in the world, definitely.
You ever been to any cricket matches in Pakistan?
No, again, so I've not been to any. My brother has. He went to a Pakistan-India game, a Gaddafi Stadium, which he tells me about. But I've never been to one in Pakistan, unfortunately. Unfortunately, international cricket took a bit of a hit a few years ago due to a terrorist attack. It is picking back up now. Teams are starting to come back to Pakistan. But I've watched a lot of international cricket in the UK that I go see. Whenever Pakistan come, we go all the time. Whenever there's a World Cup or an ICC championship, we always get tickets. It's very much a carnival atmosphere, cricket. It's not like football where, you know, it can be a bit yobbish at times. Cricket, it's like you can sit with an opposition fan and have such a laugh. So it's definitely a great sport to go watch live.
Nice. I don't think I've ever actually watched cricket live in my life.
I recommend going to a 2020 if you can. If you ever get to go to a 2020, it's like a couple of hours, but you won't watch the cricket. It's just so funny. The people come in fancy dress and there's like people walking around with basically empty beer bottles, not bottles, sorry, plastic cups. People walking around and adding to a tower, and it's like a massive tower. Some walking, it's hilarious. It's very much like a carnival atmosphere, especially on the T20 games. It's like a couple of hours as well. It's like a night out. You'd love it.
That sounds awesome. I'm going to have to give it a go once COVID goes away.
Yeah, exactly.
If it goes away.
Yeah.
If you could pick someone you know who isn't well known and would be amazing to get on our podcast, who would you choose and why?
So I was thinking about this one. I think he might be, he's got quite a few followers on Twitter, so he might be well known. But Imran, he's called Imran, he does the IT, I can't remember I'm just going to check my Twitter now quickly, I've forgotten what his...
Azure Crazy?
Azure Crazy, yes. It's Imran who does Azure Crazy. He has got so much experience in IT. He's such an interesting person. And he would have some amazing stories to tell. I think he's very experienced in IT, but I think obviously he's well known for the Azure Crazy stuff, but I don't think he's well known for the stuff that he does a lot for the community. I've been told not to say too much, unfortunately, but we're putting a project together at the moment for the online community, which I'm hoping we can launch in the next week or so, but I asked him if I could say much on this. He said not yet. Imran would be a very interesting person to speak to, 100%.
Awesome. You're full of suspense tonight.
I've learned it from you too, if I'm honest with you. You guys are really good at building suspense. I've learned it from you
too. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Definitely not us. So,
I was going to say, Shabazz, are you taking part in the Festive Tech Calendar this year? Have you actually put a session in?
I think I've put two or three sessions, if I'm honest. I'm very greedy with this sort of stuff. I have put in a couple. I've put in one that's more of a technical one, but I've also put in one that's like nothing to do with IT. Well, a little bit to do with IT, but it's more of a fun thing to do. It's not very it is based on Microsoft Azure, but it's a fun thing to do. It's not a technical thing. Fingers crossed.
Even more suspense just being built there. It sounds good.
Again, I don't want to give too much away.
Well, don't blame you. It sounds like it's going to be quite fun and, a good way to celebrate the end of this year, because we need something nice after the year we've had.
Yeah, it's been difficult, hasn't it? It doesn't seem to be getting any better. I think all best we can do is just keep safe. And I think these sort of initiatives that people like yourselves put together are massively helpful. They take people's mind. I know a lot of them take my mind off and, like I said, my kids know I'm doing this today, so they're like looking forward for me to going back and telling them what I talked about. And like with most new generation, they know all about, they love YouTube. So since I've started my channel, they've been like, they went mental today. They came back and said, "Daddy, you've got 90 subscribers."
And now to find out I've gone to 100, I'll be even more amazed. But so it's nice I'm able to share these sort of things with my family, so it's quite enjoyable.
I think the reason why myself and Richard started this kind of thing is people like you, because you started doing your very first bit of content, and now look at you, you've got 100 subscribers on YouTube after like 2 days.
It's obviously, to think about the advent calendar was exactly a year ago, almost, so coming around again. And it is literally going to be a year since my first sort of proper, like you said, social media stuff. So no, it's very right. Again, and it's thanks to you too, you know, that that a lot of people have got into as well, seeing the example that you guys have set with your blogs and the content you give and the amount of sharing you do. It's very inspiring.
Awesome. Thanks for that. That's nice to hear. Cheers. Don't know what to say now. I think that's pretty much all we do have time for today. So it's been awesome talking to you as always. Thank you very much for coming on today. Keep doing what you're doing, mate. Seriously, it's amazing. Keep it up.
Yeah, good luck with your YouTube channel and stuff like that. Everyone should subscribe.
Thank you. Thank you for being my 100th subscriber.
You're very welcome. That wasn't staged, by the way.